Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies bring you... Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies bring you Terry and the Pirates. In just a moment, you may be able to hear the faint scratching of a phonograph needle on a record. This blank record is recording the voices of two people, that of Mrs. Sainsbury and that of a murderer, Secretary Cuffney. A microphone is hidden in a wastebasket in her hotel room. Wires lead across the carpet, out the window, and up to a room on the floor above. It's a tense moment for Pat Ryan, who is hidden in Mrs. Sainsbury's room. Terry and Hotshot Charlie are operating the portable recording equipment in the room above. So stand by.
Oh, here comes Quaker with a bang, bang. Rat-a-da-da-da, bang, bang. Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies, the wheat that's hot from guns. Family's favorite breakfast, the wheat that's hot from guns. Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies have vitamins, do tell. The easy step to extra pep, and boy, the taste is well. Here comes Quaker with the bang, bang. Ra-da-da-da-da, bang, bang.
Hi, gang. Feeling smart today? Then tell us, when is a door not a door? The answer is, when it's a jar. Uh-oh, I left myself wide open on that one. And say, when is a package of breakfast cereal not a package of breakfast cereal? When it's empty, of course. And gang, that's a sorry state of affairs. Especially if that package happens to be Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies. Man, oh man, you don't want to miss out on these delicious ready-to-eat breakfast grains a single day. I'll say not, for there's no beating this eating. Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies are shot from guns, exploded 8 times larger, and have a swell comeback for more flavor. And come-again crispness that makes them a taste treat you'll want to repeat. More than that, these giant kingpin kernels are good for you. Yes, indeed. They provide the wholesome proteins, food energy, and iron of wheat in these easy-to-digest, crispy, puff grains. So see to it you always have a good supply on hand at all times. That's Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies. They come only in the big Quaker packages that are red and blue. They're the ones for you.
I don't know if you can hear that or not. It's very faint. But the machine is recording every word that is said in room 301. Terry and Hotshot Charlie are listening through headphones, while in a nearby chair, somewhat confused, sits a man named Mossbunker. He barged in unexpectedly and insisted that he had prior right to the hotel room. But Terry finally got him quieted down. As the record continues to turn on the machine, let's turn our attention to the leading figures in this affair, to room 301. Where we find the French wife of Conrad Sainsbury trying her best to remain calm as she faces the oldish, youngish Mr. Cuffney.
As I said to you when you spoke to me in the lobby a few minutes ago, Mrs. Sainsbury, you'll be wise to think twice before you go to the police.
Monsieur Cuffney, I know you have killed my brother Pierre and Dr. Fontaine on the yacht. And my husband, he know you do that too.
Well, my dear lady, if your husband knows that, why doesn't he go to the police? Why doesn't he turn me in?
Oh, Lord, it is because you know so much about Conrad. If he tell about you, you will tell about him, so he does not speak. But with me, it is different. I will speak, oui.
You are the victim of your own hysterical imagination, Mrs. Sainsbury.
Yes, it is so, and so much hysteric. But this time, I fear for myself. I fear you talk with my husband. I listen at the door. Monsieur Cuffney, I know what you say.
You didn't ever hear me admit any crime.
I hear that is what you speak, and I will tell the police.
This little conversation is just between us, Mrs. Sainsbury, just between us.
Monsieur Cuffney, then you admit you killed the 2 people on the yacht?
Yes. Yes. I got rid of Pierre, and if Dr. Fontaine had not seen me throw Pierre overboard, well, the doctor would be alive today.
Are you still this to me?
Why not? So I killed Fontaine with a dagger I took from your husband's cabin. Just in time, too. A Fontaine would have reached that meddler Ryan and his friends. But Fontaine didn't talk, I'm sure of it. and neither will you.
You will not kill me. I'm not afraid. No. And no, I'm not.
My dear lady, killing you is a waste of time. I can do plenty of harm to your husband, ruin him. And that means you'll again be just what you are, a cheap, frowsy gold digger who managed to charm a wealthy man into marrying you, a man 30 years older than yourself.
That affront.
Forgive me if I speak plainly, but I want you to know just how foolish it is for you to make trouble for me.
If it is so, I do not go to the police. If I do not speak of what you tell me...
Then things go on as usual.
But you kill those men. You do not want ever to find these other men, Jean-Queen.
That is right. I don't want your husband to continue his search for the person known as Dr. John Quill.
So you kill Pierre because it is so he can show where Jean Quill is living, oui?
Exactly.
You do not like these Dr. Jean Quill, huh?
You're curious, I must say.
As you say, this conversation is just between us.
Is it?
Oui, maybe. Seulement vous et moi.
You may be a lot smarter than I give you credit for. After all, you are clever enough to trick Sainsbury into making you his wife. Although you'll never know how I tried to prevent that mistake.
You do not try to help Conrad. You are the devil, the snake.
Well, my dear lady, I have one other proposition. Listen closely. You do not love Sainsbury, and neither do I. He's a slave driver and a bully. He cares nothing for you. He's simply pleased to have you as a decoration. You are quite attractive to be the wife of a man so much older.
I do not see what you mean,
Richard. Wait, please. Someday your Conrad is going to get rid of you. How? I do not know. He'd get rid of me if he dared. But I have my own private records, and should I die suddenly, they would be turned over to people to rival newspapers who would be glad to wreck the Sainsbury's empire. And you'd go with it, my dear lady, all the way to the gutter.
What is it you wish to speak? I do not understand.
You'd be very smart to come over to my side. Play the game with me. Working together, we can really handle Sainsbury. You'll end up with a fortune of your own. And you can snap your pretty fingers at the great dictator. And that's what he is, a dictator of a paper empire. How does the idea strike you?
It is so. I do not think like this before.
Take your time. There's no hurry. But be smart. Keep your pretty mouth shut. Use your head. I'm sure you'll wake up to your senses.
Why is it wrong to find Dr. Jean Quill who is lost? Why do you wish to stop Conrad from going to Indochina?
Because I am the man who brought Dr. Quill to Indochina. I thought he'd died. I cannot afford to have him found alive.
Oh, dear. It is all what you call the terrible puzzle.
It isn't a puzzle, my dear lady. But you need not bother your pretty head about such things. All I want from you is your agreement to do things my way.
I must have the time to think.
Very well. There's really no hurry. We'll talk again. So, good night.
Mon Dieu, I am so upset.
I can understand that.
How do I know I can trust you? How do I know you do not lie? How do I know you would do not what you call the
double cross?
It is so. How do I know? You talk to me, then you go and talk to Conrad. You make much trouble for me.
I see what you mean, my dear lady.
You have killed two men, alors. You have made Conrad afraid of you. You have kidnapped the great Dr. Jean Quill.
You don't want anything to happen to you, naturally. Yes. I can use a pretty woman like you. You'll be useful to me.
Monsieur Coveney, why did you steal Dr. Jean Quill and take him to Indochina?
It's a long story. Too long to tell right now.
But what is it you wish me to do for you?
Just do all you can to stop your husband from leaving Hong Kong and starting for Indochina. You can surely make many delays, pretend to be ill. He'll not leave you here and go on without you.
Monsieur Coveney, I do not assist you until you explain the answer to my question.
What You will help in this matter.
Conrad, he is the old fool. You have seen I could not love him, but I do not throw away everything because you come here with the fine talk, you know.
Well, about Dr. Quill. He gave up his fine practice in New York, disappeared. I happened to be in San Francisco when I met him. He did not know who he was.
Dr. Quill did not know himself?
Amnesia. He was a victim of overwork, brain fatigue. But I recognized him.
Yes?
I was sailing for China. I hated John. I've always despised him. Always. He was so successful, and I was just a fly-by-night newspaper man. I hated the great Dr. John Quill.
But why do you hate this man? That is crazy.
Yes, so it was. Crazy. So, when I saw he didn't recognize me, well, I took him aboard ship. It was no trouble. I wanted to get him out of the way.
Why did you not kill him? Killing is easy for you.
Killing is something you have to build yourself up to. Anyway, I didn't want to kill John. I just wanted to lose him from the world. And I did. Yes, I did.
But why? Why did you do that to him?
Because, my dear lady, Dr. John Quill is my half-brother.
Oh, is your half-brother? Aren't you? Oh, mon Dieu. So that explains why you do not wish to find him.
I thought I'd lost him. He didn't know who he was. I left him in Indochina. People thought he was working for the Japanese. He had a small plantation. He was content. It started a new life. But now your husband gets this insane idea of going in search of Dr. John Quill. I cannot let this expedition succeed. John must not be brought back. There's much more I could tell you. But you know too much already.
Do you hear the sound of the recording machine? Recording the answer to Pat Ryan's oft-repeated question, why did Cuffney kill Pierre and Dr. Fontaine? Why does he want this Indochina expedition to fail? But all that Cuffney said has been faithfully recorded in the hotel room above. That means plenty's popping. So stand by.
Quake, a puffy party, the week that's up from gun. Here comes Quaker with a bang, bang. Ra-da-da-da-da, bang, bang.
Abracadabra, hocus pocus, presto. Gang, you'll call it magic, the way you or mother can whip up this swell-tasting breakfast treat in a jiffy. Yes, almost before you can say Jack Robinson, whoever he is. Now, just do this. Pour out some delicious, ready-to-eat Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies into a bowl. Then top with applesauce. Add milk and sugar. You'll want to try this soon, for Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies are the breakfast grains shot from guns. They're so tender, crisp, and packed with flavor, they just melt in your mouth. Get Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies tomorrow. Look for the famous Quaker man on each big red and blue package. That means it's the original, the one and only Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies.
Terry and the Pirates is dramatized for radio by Albert Barker, who says, Cuffney has talked too much. He may decide it was unwise, and he had better make sure Mrs. Sainsbury will not change her mind and still go to the police. There's danger ahead, and you'll get in on it. Same time, same station.
Pirates!